Good morning. Om Shanti. Let's have 15 minutes meditation, and then we can start. Try to bring up the feelings that you had yesterday. Om Shanti. Can we do the following? Just look over your notes or try to remember the past 2 days and something that you found very useful for you. Please share with a friend who obviously speaks your language. Yeah? So look at your notes or try to remember what we did the last 2 days, and please share what you found very useful for you. Okay, and then we'll do it's like a recapitulation of what we've done. If you're sitting alone, find someone to share with. Who would like to share something in the room? Who would like to say something? A comment or a question, whatever. Who would like to say something? Well, you talk so much. Okay.
Sorry, my English is terrible.
It's okay, we can have a translator.
Возвращаясь к первому занятию, возник вопрос, что можно ответить оппонентам знания, которые утверждают, что сознание является свойством не просто элементарных частиц, да, а уровнем и степенью ее организации, то есть высотой ее организации.
Сознание не просто свойство элементарных частиц.
Да, а является свойством степени ее организации в систему. Нет. Здесь не потянешь.
It's very specific question. I'm not sure it's interesting to all. I'm suggesting to brother to come in the. I'm sorry. I think this question is a little bit specific. I just suggest to the brother to come with this question. The brother can in the break, because I'm not sure it will be interested to you. It's something about that in the logic world, the opponents of Gyan, they say that consciousness is not the
volume. Volume.
In the world, some people who are in opposition to knowledge, they think that consciousness.
Hello.
They think that consciousness is not only the property of the elementary units, but that consciousness is the quality of the matter of with high level of organization. Means not of elementary some molecules, they don't have any consciousness, but only materia высокого уровня. That's why I'm not sure if I understand myself what he's asking. Maybe I will try to understand before the break, and then
okay.
Come to brother.
I think, that's probably better to leave for afterwards. Until I understand clearly the question, we can talk and bring it into the group after the break. Yeah? Anyone else? Come to the front. She's going to speak in Spanish, right?
Español.
No, I can translate.
¿Español?
Sí.
Yes. A mí me pareció muy interesante. No funciona. A mí me pareció muy interesante el recorrido este para hacer la meditación, que dijiste buscar a tres personas o tres quienes quedamos, y después pues ir a Baba, a la naturaleza, o sea, me parece que es este círculo.
Ah.
Y me parece,
No, está hablando sobre ese aquí, ¿no? Este.
Y bueno, me pareció, a mí me gustó mucho cómo ahora poder enfocar yo también la meditación en base a estos pasos que dijiste.
She's just saying that she liked very much the step by step that we did here, you know, looking at, you know, the whole objective of this was to center yourself. So she was just saying she liked to do this and to practice like in a step by step way, right?
Sí. Sí.
¿Ok? Yes. Sí. ¿Algo más?
Sí. Lo de la conciencia, lo de meditar, lo que dijiste de que meditar diciendo pues va a haber ese extraordinario, va tal, que no era transformar. Y entonces lo que dijiste
es
que realmente lo que era transformar es a través de sumerger, o sea, emerger las cualidades originales. Esto
okay.
me pareció muy,
so is he saying that she liked also the idea that when you're just having a conversation with Baba, that not necessarily transforming or just transforming you. To have an experience of transformation, you have to go into the, you have to emerge the original quality some way or the other. Yeah? Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We are very patient, you see. We have to take into it. Okay. If there's someone else that wants to speak, come down the front.
Shanti, in this part of the session, also for me was very useful, and this one, yes, and because it was clockwise, I had the experience of the soul as the eternal energy, like the thread passing through the various bodies, the 83 bodies, and then being kind of affected, but as moving forward, now is the time to connect with the tassel and break the thread to start the new cycle. So it was very relieving.
Very good. Okay, come. Last one, then we can continue. Okay.
Om Shanti. I just want to share that, you know, before I left London, I was very keen to practice being in soul consciousness here. And I found the session, unfortunately I missed the first one, but I found the session yesterday very, very useful. And it's like in a long time that I managed to actually go directly into connecting with others as souls and bypassing the mind and the intellect.
Yeah.
So I really, really appreciate the session yesterday. I mean, I wish I hadn't missed the first one. But that was very useful. Thank you very much.
Well, you can get the link of the, you can get the recording also. At the end of this session, I'll give you the link that you can get this presentation. Okay? It's actually on the presentation itself, the last page. What I wanted to say is that she actually brought it up. You see, the soul, when it's in the soul world, is one thing, right? When it comes down here, it starts to operate. But as if the mind and the intellect and the sanskars in the soul world, before the soul comes here, they're just latent, right? They're just a potential. They're not actually operating. But when we come down in the golden age, they're together. There's probably no difference. You don't need to make any decisions in the golden age, right? There are no judgment. There's no judgment. There are very few words even. Very few words. For example, one of the experiences I had last time I was in Madhuban, I tried, it wasn't easy, but I had relative success to remove adjectives from my thinking. Because in the golden age, there are probably no adjectives. This is beautiful, right? This is not beautiful. This is ugly. This is good. This is bad. There's no adjectives. So you can imagine going through the day without any adjectives. That means you're not putting labels on things. I suppose there are very few nouns also. Why would you name something? This is a rose, this is a jasmine, this is a lily, right? Probably you won't have names probably for things. And because we don't speak very much either. Most of it is sort of subtle language. And then as we come down through the cycle, the mind starts to go one way because it's attracted through the senses to the objects, especially. the mind becomes sort of unstable, right? So the mind goes one way. We start off together. They're all together. The mind, intellect, sanskars are all together. Then as we go through the cycle, they start to separate. Yeah? So mind goes this way, intellect goes this way, and sanskars go this way. And we are separated in ourselves. Because it becomes very complicated, right? Especially if the mind is wanting to go this way and the intellect's wanting to go this way. Let's a very simple example. Your doctor has told you that you cannot eat chocolate. Right? But you love chocolate. And your aunt has just arrived from Belgium with 1 kilo of the best Belgian chocolate. Right? So what is the conversation that happens? What happens? You have sanskars, right? The sanskars are of lots of chocolate, right? Maybe even in other births. You became a chocolate-holic, right? You are addicted to chocolate, right? So you have a lot of memories of eating chocolate and the pleasant sensation of eating chocolate. Who likes chocolate here? Okay. Who doesn't mind if they eat chocolate? Yeah. If they have chocolate, fine. If no chocolate, okay. I'm like that too. Who hates chocolate? No one. Okay. Have you seen the ice cream chamber in the new kitchen area? Racks and racks of pots of ice cream. So, let's say your doctor says you can't eat ice cream anymore. So the intellect tries to control the situation. And the mind is desiring the chocolate, right? And the sanskars are feeding both sides of the argument. So the sanskar, the impression of the doctor and his information, maybe you've looked up on the internet and you've got lots of sanskars about how the arteries get clogged up if you eat too much chocolate. Right? You've got a lot of information which is recorded here, right? And that, it goes to the sanskars. And also you've got the sanskars of liking chocolate. You know, all of those pleasant occasions when you've had, you know, chocolate. So the mind and the intellect fight. The mind says, oh, just one piece. I'd be okay with just one piece. And the intellect says, no. The last time I gave you one piece, you ate half a block of chocolate in one go. No way. Just a little piece. No. And so that conflict is there. Let's say you went to bed very late, right? Like there was a program in the center and you got back to your house because you were helping put everything away. You know, you after the program you helped to carry all of the things back to the center. And you help put it away, and finally at 1 o'clock, you arrive in your house and you're going to bed. What happens when the alarm clock rings at 3:30? What's the conversation? What's the conversation? The mind says, just a little bit more, after all, I went to bed very late, I just had 2 hours sleep. And the intellect says, no. Baba in yesterday's Morley says, Amrit Vela is very important. You can't miss Amrit Vela. Mama never used to miss Amrit Vela. Get up. Just another 5 minutes, right? 5 minutes more. And of course, it's raining and it's cold, right? And you forgot to put the heater on. So the mind wants one thing, and the intellect knows something else. So there's a fight between wanting and knowing. So I want something, but I know I shouldn't want that. So the desires and the feelings and, you know, this sort of thing, the instability is here. And the intellect is weak. It needs power. You know, maybe in your country, but certainly in Brazil, on the packs of cigarettes, they put photographs. Horrible photographs, right? Who has that in their country? You see people with their lungs, you know, the cancer, the tongue, or everything. Terrible. You know, an unborn fetus is on the packet of cigarettes. And this mother, this is the baby who died, a stillborn baby of a mother who smoked. It's on the pack of cigarettes. And big signs everywhere, don't smoke. There's 4,500 toxic substances in cigarettes. So you know, right? You know. But this sanskar is very strong. What's a sanskar? Perhaps the whole thing is like this. The first time I remember a guy many years ago when many more people used to smoke. These days it's very rare actually that you find somebody smokes, but 30 years ago everyone used to smoke. This guy comes to me in Bogota, in Colombia, and he says, how can I give up smoking? And I asked him, how many cigarettes you smoke? He said, I smoke 30 a day. So, for how long have you been smoking 30 cigarettes a day? He said, 30 years. So I did a quick calculation, it's about 270,000, you know. It's a lot of cigarettes. A few truckloads of cigarettes, right? Forget about how much you spend on that. But every time that you do something, every time, you know, the thought comes and then the decision, right? The mind and the intellect sort of work together, and then you do the action, and that creates the sanskar, right? So the first time that happens, difficult. The second time, you know, and 270,000 times later, you've got a very, very strong channel in yourself. It's like you've gouged out a channel inside yourself. You've dug a channel. And of course, what happens there is the sanskar is very strong, and the intellect doesn't even operate anymore. So, in fact, even the thought doesn't come, because people start to do that instinctively. So it's really just sanskar to action. And that's exactly how an animal does things. And that's why Baba says that human beings have become worse than animals. But the intellect is weak. Even if it understands something, it can't operate because it doesn't have any strength. We cannot create our own strength. That's why God exists. If God did not exist, he would be, you know, unemployed. You know, if he didn't do this, what's the use of God? So, here's what he brings to us, and this is where we left off yesterday, you know. You connect up to Baba. And that gives you, and we can do it here actually, the image is not very good on this. We can do it here on the screen, on the whiteboard. Because for those three things to come back together again, as they were in the original state, that the mind and the intellect and the sanskars are absolutely together. There's no separation, there's no fight, there's no inner conflict. You know, the mind's not wanting something and the intellect saying, no, 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 Baba said in the Mooli, or the sister in the center said, you can't do that, whatever. That's a very, very, how do you say, kindergarten stage. I should be bringing up the best in my sanskars naturally, without actually the intellect is allowing that to happen because it's strong and the understanding is intuitive, right? So the intellect connects with God, right, with Baba, and that power and understanding more than anything, they sort of infuse the intellect in a way, and this energy goes through the soul and it purifies. You know, what does purify mean? Let me ask you, what do you think it means? What does purify mean, or transform mean? What does it mean? Because the sanskar, removing the rubbish. Huh? Yeah, getting back to the original sanskars. Because in fact what happens, the sanskars that we have for the whole cycle remain, right? But they're not active. What it means is to deactivate the sanskars of the second half of the cycle. Basically. That's what the purify means. And to bring to the surface the sanskars of the first half of the cycle. When in the Lokic world, you find people looking for someone. They're looking for their partner, right? I don't know what they say in your language, but in English they say they're looking for the other half of the orange. You know, I'm looking for my better half. Right? So a man and a woman, or a woman and a woman, a man and a man, whatever. There are many variations. But people look for someone, for company, right? Is that right? They want someone to be with them. But you know what it is? The soul, in fact, is looking for itself. The second half of the cycle is looking for the first half of the cycle. And can I find the first half of my cycle in someone else? No. You see, the soul isn't even looking for God. The soul actually knows that God exists and knows that God can help them. But if I experience something, it's from my own sanskars. So Baba helps us to bring those sanskars up, right? So going through the sanskars, and then you start to have these pleasant experiences in the mind. And this is very important. That's you experience peace in the mind. You experience happiness in the mind. You experience love in the mind. Yeah? And the mind operates in the present. Even if you're bringing stuff from the past, the mind is experiencing that in the present. And so presence is very important if we want to be spiritual. I have to be here. I have to be present. Well, what's going on? What's the need here? What, how can I serve? It's an experience of presence. Yeah? I saw a survey done in the UK. I don't know how they did it, but the survey said that the only human beings who are 100% present are babies, 6 months old and below. When we are 4 years old, we are only 80% present, because there's a little bit of the consciousness of the past and a little bit of consciousness of the future, but 80% present. When we are 8, 60% present. When we are 14, 40% present. When we are 18, 20% present. And when we are adults, 3%. Because I was thinking about what's going on next and what's going to happen and what happened, and, you know, the present is going along like this, and we're jumping on either side of the present. What am I going to have? You're eating lunch and you're already thinking about what you're going to eat for dinner. Right? Or you're talking about the food rather than enjoying it. You know, that sort of thing. You are somewhere, but actually you're somewhere else. Especially these days with our gadgets. Right? You're in the Morley and you're thinking about what you're going to do. Right? You're talking to somebody and looking at your iPhone at the same time. So, presence is very important. You know why? Because love, peace and happiness can only be experienced in the present. So if you're only 3% present, when are you going to experience love, peace and happiness? So, consciousness, soul consciousness, actually means to be fully present in the consciousness, in the awareness that you are the soul operating through the body. If you remember that you were happy yesterday, it's not the same as experiencing happiness now. Oh, so what? You know, you were happy when you first came into Gyan, you were much more enthusiastic. It's now irrelevant. What is relevant is what's happening in front of us. So, and this is, you know, this is the connection initially is through the intellect, because the intellect remembers. But the mind also comes in, because it's the mind that loves. Right? One thing helped me very much when I first came to Baba, because in those days I didn't even do the course. I just came straight into the Morley on the first day. My first day in the center was sitting in the Morley. No previous preparation, maybe in my past life. But one thing Sister Sudesh said, because she was the teacher in London, one of them, because there were the teachers in the center were Daddy Jenki, Sister Jenti, and Didi Sudesh. She told me something very important, that the connection with Baba is like a bridge. You need to understand everything to construct the bridge between the soul and God. But you need to have love to be able to cross it. Because if you just have love and you don't understand, you don't have a bridge. And if you have a very intellectual understanding of all of this, but no love, you've got a great bridge, but you don't cross it. So that's what I want to go into now. And that's why we were talking about this before. So if we look at Gyan, I'm sorry that the projector is so, I don't know why they changed the one from yesterday. But if you think of the four subjects, right, and how do you know that you're progressing? How do you know that you're progressing in each of the subjects? Because it is the soul, it's soul consciousness, in fact, that is the thread in all of the four subjects. Yeah? If you're not interested and you don't practice soul consciousness, you really can't say that you're in Gyan. Right? You know Gyan, but are you in Gyan? To be in Gyan means you're swimming in it, right? To be able to swim in the Gyan, you have to be soul conscious. And there's a progression, right? We move from a lot of waste thinking. Maybe can we turn all of the lights off, Bhaiji? Bhai. Turn the lights off. Light off karo. Ah, good. Yeah, it's a little bit better. Sorry about that. But, you know, we move from this waste life and we start to have develop ideals. You know? And let me say that a lot of the talks that we listen to and even a lot of the words that we say to others is pure idealism. You know? It doesn't necessarily mean just because I can understand something and I can organize ideas in a very intelligent way, it does not necessarily mean that I practice that. It just means that I'm a good sort of understander. You know? So we move from waste. This is our life. Ideals help us to get away from waste. And practice helps us to get away from ideals. And of course, the last thing where we actually need to end up is in the state of self-realization. That I really understand who I am, I interact with others understanding who they are, and I understand my place in the scheme of existence. Now, in a deeper way, we move from information, right? And the information that works, we call that knowledge. It works. So that's knowledge. What I start to practice is because I've understood something. So just because I have knowledge doesn't mean that I understand. And just because I understand, it does not mean that I have wisdom. Because wisdom is being able to practice knowledge in a natural way without even thinking. Without any intellectualization, you know. It's natural because the mind, the intellect and the sanskars have come together. And there's no gap, there's no fight. Yeah? So if we look at the second topic that we have, I'm going to talk about yoga in a minute, but so I'm talking about Gyan, Dharana, the divine virtues. There's a big difference, right, between the normal human behavior. Because they say to err is human, to make mistakes is human. If you make a mistake, people say, oh, it's just human beings are human beings. They always do that. Yeah. So what? And most people live in the world of so what? Yeah. There's a conspiracy to be mediocre. Mediocre. You know what that means? Sort of middling behavior. So that, you know, if someone, I'll give you an example. Let's say it's raining or snowing, right, very heavily. And you are driving home, and because of the rain or the snow, instead of taking 20 minutes to get to your house, you took 2 hours. So you're not feeling particularly happy, right? And as you get to your house, you find that someone is parked in your driveway. You know? You want to get home, right? And you get to your place and there's someone parked in the entrance to your house. you can't go into the garage, or you can't go under the apartment, or whatever. So how do you feel at that moment? And normally, what do people do? Who is the guy, who's the owner of this car? Let me screw his head off, you know. And people will say that's completely okay, right? In Kali Yuga, if you get upset because someone really does you bad, something bad, people will say, so what? But we want to go beyond that, right? Is that right? But again, when I said, you know, this idealistic, romantic vision of how things would be if we were better behaved, and you see it and listen to our classes here, it's full of it. You know, if we were only, you know, but you see that even the person who gave such a good lecture, an hour later they're getting angry with someone. It doesn't make sense. Or they're using sweetness in such a way to manipulate you. We're very clever, you see. If I respect you, I will be able to get something for me. You know? It will be very useful for me if I respect. Because my life will become better. That's not exactly the best motive, is it? It's a game. So often, we are playing games with human virtues rather than actually inculcating divine ones. Anyway, we can move away from there. We start really to practice virtues consciously. And of course, divine virtues, the difference is that human virtues are working under the ego of body consciousness. And divine virtues, I'm acting as Baba's instrument. So, I'll give you an example. Does Baba trust us? Yeah? Does he? Yes? So, is it a question if I should trust someone or not? If Baba trusts somebody, why is it even a question whether I trust or not? If it's a question, it's because the ego of body consciousness is operating. Does Baba respect us? Yeah? So, is it a question? It's not even a question, is it? Should I respect or not respect some other Brahmin? Is it? So let me to see how Baba sees souls, and let me interact with them as Baba sees the souls, and then my virtues have a chance of becoming more divine. If I think, no, wait a minute, this one is difficult, let me do something. This person has a history of being difficult, so let me get close to them. That's a very human way of operating, isn't it? And that's the way we've been protecting ourselves for 63 births. You know? Very different from how does Baba see this individual and let me interact with them as Baba sees them. That's a divine virtue. So it's no use actually making lists of all of my defects and lists of all of my virtues. I just have to check myself with Baba. You know, if I need to compare with someone, let me compare myself with Baba. That's how it should work. So, where am I? Where is my, you know, if I go back, where, if I say that I'm in Gyan, yeah, where am I? Am I in the information stage? Am I in the knowledge stage? Am I in the understanding stage? Or am I in the wisdom stage? If I say I'm in Gyan, where am I on that scale? Where am I? What do you think? Where? You're in the understanding stage, are you? Okay. Who thinks that they're in the understanding stage, really, most of the time? Or in the knowledge stage? And who's in the wisdom stage most of the time? Oh, well, yeah, very good. I remember when we first started, you started to do charts, right? How much was your soul consciousness today? 100%. Then you started to understand things a bit more, 80%. Then you understand a little bit more, yeah, really, it was only 40%, you know. It's not that you're getting worse, it means that your understanding is getting better. Yeah? So in the same way, where are you here? Where are you here? You're still playing the game of human virtues? Or is Baba being able to use you without your own interference? Where are you? Who's in the normal human behavior stage? Probably no one here, I think. Who's in the idealistic stage? If things could be like this, if only we had this, if people were like this, everything would be better. You know, that's the idealistic state. Ideal means, exactly the word means, an idea of what is real. But it's not real. Idea of what's real. So practicing divine virtues under God's control, basically, that's what dharana really is. And seva, you know, it's a very special word. You can be doing service in a very common consciousness. Sweeping the floor of the center, right? Washing the dishes, but your thoughts are all over the place. I remember I was visiting a center once, and there were some sisters preparing rolling tollies, right? They were putting tollies in packs, you know, with some plastic or something. Making the tollie look nice, right? So they had this big bowl of tollie mix, and they were making the balls and putting them into sort of, to be able to give out at the program. Yeah? Can you see the scene? Yeah? And they were gossiping about something or the other. You know, I walked past. I was just a visitor there. And I noticed that they were gossiping about someone. And while they were rolling the tollies, I didn't say anything. But in the program that evening, the coordinator of the center didn't know this either, right? She announces, and at the end of the program, we are going to give out tollies. They are special sweets that have been prepared in God's remembrance. And I'm sitting there like... She would never announce they were prepared in an atmosphere of gossip. Yeah. Anyway. So we can be doing service, but in a very common consciousness, right? But if we are moved by some purpose to serve, and we are moved by this intention to uplift, I want to help uplift people, then we could say that this is what Baba wants. This is what seva is. And the word means, I think I mentioned yesterday, that's the actual definition from the Sanskrit. That's work that's selflessly dedicated to God. Now how much of the service we do is like that? So where am I? Is everything I do in service in this last part? Or a little bit before that? Now, we're going to start after the break. We're going to do the special sequence which will guarantee the success of your meditation. You know, it's the same thinking. If you look at Gyan, there is a progression, yeah? If you look at dharana, there's a progression. If you look at seva, there's a progression. Where am I in my efforts, Here, 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 or here. In the same way, in yoga, there is a progression, definitely. This is a picture of there's a lake in Peace Village. It's our retreat center near New York. This is the lake. And one day I has anyone here been to Peace Village? Okay, some of you. So you remember the lake, right? It's a big pond, actually. But this morning the water was completely like a mirror, right? So you can see the perfect reflection of the trees. So I thought, it's not plugged in. So I threw a rock into the pond, right? And look what happened to the image. It starts to break up. So that's what happens if our mind, which where the experiences come, is not silent. It doesn't mean absence of physical sound. It means absence of this fight. The mind and the intellect are not struggling with each other. There's not a struggle between wanting and knowing. I know something that I don't want to know, or I want something that I know I shouldn't want. Wanting and knowing are fighting it out. So the mind is quiet because there's no struggle. There's contentment. That's what silence is. So the mind becomes like this first picture. It's just able to reflect. If you can't reflect, you have to interpret. You have to imagine. So anything that's going on, if there's silence, you can reflect because you can see perfectly what it is. And so we've finished our... Someone forgot to plug it in. Oh, yeah. Hasn't been plugged in. Anyway, you get the idea. So what we're going to do now, we can do it in the break. Podemos fazer no intervalo. Sem problema. I want you to, if you've got a paper in front of you, okay, you have some paper in front of you, let's do a little exercise. Just allow your mind to be completely free. Yeah? Don't make any effort to do anything. Just try to allow the mind to become quiet. Yeah? And if a thought comes, just write down a word that signifies that thought. Yeah? We're going to do this for 5 minutes. We're going to check our minds for 5 minutes. Yeah? Try not to do anything. Just allow the mind to be free. Yeah? And see what happens naturally. So, if a thought comes, just write down a word that signifies that thought. Don't write down the whole thought, just something. Okay? If you hear a sound, you know, fan, right? If you feel some ache in your body, or knee, you know, something like that. Just allow your mind to be free and write down what comes up. Okay? I'm not going to say anything. It's just for you to check where your mind is. Let's start, okay? Okay. Put your headphones on. Headphones. While you're in this consciousness, okay? Just check how still, if the mind is like a pond, right? How still is it? How still is it? Second thing, the very fact that you can observe your mind shows you that you are different from the thoughts. The thoughts are your creation. The feelings are your creation. Therefore, you could say that the mind is your creation. You are the creator. So in a minute we're going to get up. And of course the intellect has to be involved in that. The intellect has to decide to move the body. So you can actually observe how the intellect works also. So you're not the intellect, you have an intellect. When you are deciding and judging and remembering, the intellect is working. You're also very aware of your personality, you know. Some things are still there. Some habits are still there that you would like to get rid of. Some patterns are still there that you'd like to forget. But there's goodness in the sanskars also, and that's coming up. That's more present here at the moment. But you can observe the sanskars as well. So you are not the sanskars, you have sanskars. So I'm the soul, and I can organize these faculties in the same way that I can organize my eyes and my mouth and my ears, my hands. I can organize my mind, my intellect and sanskars. Because I'm the soul, I'm the owner of all of this. Okay? So now we're going to come back to the room and we're going to decide to go and have a break. Yeah? Let's have a 15-minute break. Yeah? Good. So how is your mind? Is it sort of still? Is your mind relatively still? Or is it like a storm? Probably relatively still, yeah? But when the storm comes to the pond, right? And you can't see anything. Okay?